Thanks for listening to Stokely and Zach On Demand. Before Zach tells us who is moonwalking in the Hall of Fame today, have you subscribed to our podcast? Subscribe everywhere you get your podcast or at 1043thefan.com.
It's Stokely and Zach on Denver Sports Station, 1043 The Fan.
Have to think about it. It is right here. It is right now.
So strange. Said you now, no.
Brandon Stokely, how you doing?
Man, I am doing great. Not as good as you once again. I mean, you're 3-0 in your hockey Avs playoff run. You got the hair still going, I guess. Are you committed to growing the hair as long as that, you know, your hair? What is it, a playoff hair? Usually it's playoff beard.
I know.
Doesn't sound right. But look, you're hot. All I got to say is you're hot. You were in the house last night at Ball Arena.
Oh, my gosh.
And I just, you got to give it to me. How does that stack up to your, you know, your first ever playoff game was the first game against Nashville.
Yeah, game one.
Then you went to game two.
Yep.
You said the electricity wasn't quite the same in game two as game one.
Right.
Explain to me, what was it like last night for that one?
It was definitely closer to game one. A lot of angst, a lot of nervous energy. Whereas, like, round one, game one, it was almost like an unbridled excitement. Like, you know, you're kind of, you know, going to fight someone who's not quite in your weight class and you're just, like, ready to roll.
Well, you came out the gates in game one, too, and you hit two goals in the first 3 minutes. Literally.
You're spot on. So that just like disarmed everyone as like, oh, this is going to be a party. And by the end of the first period, it's 5-0. It was amazing how close last night's game felt like game two from just an angst level, but ratcheted up way more. Because I think collectively we're taking St. Louis, and rightfully so, far more serious than we ever took Nashville. This is a team that in the last regular, like normal hockey season with full fans from start to finish, they're raising the cup with the same goalie, a lot of the same characters. So it was like when that first period started, and there's just like, it's like, oh my gosh, is this going to be like a rock fight? Is that what we're in for here? This isn't, it felt slow and plodding. The Blues trying to minimize the
rock fight.
Yeah. Like it wasn't high flying, you know, Star Wars. It was like, hey, settle in.
Throw rocks at each other?
This is gonna be like trench warfare. Like and they're trying to reduce the possessions and sit on the puck and you know, the Az fans are booing, like, let's play, let's go. What are you scared of? Like, so it was just a little bit plotting, and then the second period happened. And it was just a dominant showing, but without the scoreboard reflecting how dominant it actually felt. And then just the zenith moment of overtime, Josh freaking Manson, and this is what it sounded like.
Here's Manson. Girard, his shot tips, save Bennington, rebound, he got double two. Kadri had the follow-up, Bennington fell over. Here's Manson, Bennington's reset. Manson scores! Josh Manson wins game one.
Stoke, that was his...
That on button, you need to push to talk. I mean, that's two times. You look like you're dragging your feet a little bit today. You're a little bit slow.
I was up until about 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, there we go. That's what I'm talking about.
I knew I was in trouble when I like, there's a clock. We're sitting in the first row 200 level, and there's a clock right over my right shoulder that like every once in a while I'd look up, and I didn't want to look up. But when it started to say an 11 in front, I'm like, ugh.
You got to drive home.
Yeah.
The overtime thing was not ideal because I'm watching it in bed,
okay. And
I want to go to bed.
Sure.
And the last thing I want to do is be up for, you know, I mean, overtime hockey can go hour plus very easily.
Of course.
Very easily. And
you got to mix in another intermission before you even start.
Right. Intermissions aren't short. And, you know, this thing could go on and on. I mean, there's no shootout or anything. I mean, you're playing to someone scores. And I'm like, oh, this is not ideal. So it was, it was suddenly, for me, looking at the clock also, I could imagine for you, then you got to get out of there, so it ended up being a late one for you.
It did, and I live in Centennial now. I used to live in the tech center for the first 4.5 years or whatever, living here, so it's like, you know, quick little, you know, buzz, you know, 20 minutes or so. Now it's like 45 minutes.
Oh, it's a little bit further for you now.
It's double from where I used to live, right off, you know, 199 here off 25. Thanks to our listeners in Castle Rock for making 104.3 The Fan part of your day.
C-Rock.
R-R. C-Block.
But that goal, to me, I got to tell you, I was so stinking nervous because it reminded me of just disasters of previous years where you have this game, you're in control of this thing. You should have been up, you know, 5-1,
yeah.
6-1,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And nothing can go in. You always know what's going to happen. Just like when we had the stinking Rockies game on and we know, are they playing today?
Yes,
afternoon
they
today?
Are.
Speaking of
yes,
that.
Yes, they are.
Speaking of that,
yes,
we've got
are.
Action Wednesday.
Yes.
Action Wednesday. No run, first inning Wednesday. Is that what we're going to go
we'll
with
talk.
Again?
We got to
okay.
talk
All
about
right.
it.
Anyway, I got really excited. Sorry about that. I started thinking about previous failures. I can't help it. And yeah, because you had a chance to bury them, what happens? When you don't bury them, they always come back alive, and something like that happens where you got a couple power plays, and you talk about awful-looking power plays? I'm like, this doesn't look like the same power play unit that we saw against there in the third against Nashville. Nashville was doing, St. Louis was doing something a little bit different. They were attacking them more. I don't know what it was, but it looked different. It wasn't a clean operation from the Avs.
It was hard to get set up. It was hard to get it across the blue line and get organized.
Yes. It didn't look as clean, certainly. So maybe Hockey Guy can text me in and tell me exactly why it didn't look as clean. 303-713-1043. But you could just tell the order of operations weren't what they were supposed to be, weren't what we've been used to seeing.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, I don't know, Hockey Guy once again could tell me, but that didn't look like a penalty. That didn't look like a penalty.
The holding
on
call?
Tase.
Yeah.
Tase. Yeah. That did not look like a penalty there on Tase toes. Did not. I don't know. Holding? What are you talking about? Holding is just kind of beating him up against the boards there.
Here's why my least favorite part about that call. That call was a departure in how the game had been called.
There you go.
There was very few penalties. They swallowed their whistles. They treated it like they're treating it the NBA. It doesn't even look like the regular season
right.
anymore in that league.
Which
right
is
now.
Good.
I love it. Let them play. I heard Mike say this morning. I'd rather the game be under-officiated than over-officiated when everything's on the line. Let these guys figure it out. And it wasn't like some dirty game, and it wasn't even some overly physical game.
And that was late in the third, too.
It was.
That was late. It wasn't in the first. It was late in the third. I mean, they had 4 or 5 minutes left to go.
3:14 left.
Yeah, that's when he scored.
Yes.
But he scored one second left on the power play.
Good call.
You know, add a couple more minutes to it. But in that situation, when you haven't called it all game, you especially don't call it with 5 minutes left to go in the third.
No. That was disappointing. And had the Avs lost, and thank goodness they didn't, but we would look back at that like really? You call the holding call on the boards, and the next thing is Jordan Kyrou, and it's like, wait, what the hell just happened? Thank goodness things worked out the way that they did. It was an imperfect game. We can talk about how much the lack of, you know, rhythm, you know, taking eight, nine days off, I think it was, and how slow the game started. But, man, I got to tell you, I've never seen a game where 5 different shots ring off the post or the crossbar.
Bing.
I mean, dude.
Bing.
Stoke, there was at least 3 times during the game where, and a lot of it depends on where you're sitting. Like, a few of them, we're a kitty corner, so I'm looking down at one of the goals.
Kitty corner.
So if you're...
Is that what they call that?
If it rings off the post and ends up behind the goal, it looks like it goes in. So half of Ball Arena, 3 different times, was on their feet, hands raised, celebrating a goal, and then you look down and they're continuing the action, and it's like, what did I miss? It felt like game 3, the wrister that went through the back of the net.
Right.
In the Nashville series. Like, oh, wait, we scored. Wait, no, we didn't. But to see 10,000 people collectively burst with excitement and be a part of that, like, oh, wait, no, and have that happen again, and then again, it was just like...
It was a lot.
It's like, if this doesn't work out, there's something going on here that's, like, larger
that's
than
you,
this.
That's when you felt like it wasn't your night.
Yes, yes.
Like, something's going to... Oh, and then they score late there in the third, and you're like, they're going to get a cheap goal here. That's what's going to happen. I mean, that was my thought process, unfortunately.
Yeah. Yeah.
When you dominate the game, which they did.
They did.
I mean, you look at the shots. They dominated.
54-25.
They dominated the thing, and you let a team back in it, you just kind of feel like, oh, they're going to get a cheap one here. Something's going to happen. But it didn't. It didn't. So, great win. You needed to win that first one. Keep home ice, and they were able to do that. But I got a couple other thoughts about the end of the game, end of the third there, that I want to get into here shortly.
Can't wait to pick your brain about that.
It's the what corner again?
It's like caddy corner. Kitty corner? Caddy corner?
Kitty?
Kitty caddy?
Yeah. Kitty caddy?
Meow.
What is Jared Bednar saying about narrowly escaping game one on their home ice? We'll hear from the coach next.
Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan presents Stokely and Zach.
Give you my quick recap there of what kind of the third eight late there in the third.
Of course, yeah.
First of all, I thought it was a bad call on the penalty, right?
Yep.
But saying that, sometimes you're going to get some bad calls, okay? And you got to be able to close it out, and they had it. They had the power play killed. And all of a sudden, I mean, you have to make sure that puck gets down there before you start making a line change, especially with 3 and change left in the stinking game. It's not, you know, the first period. We're up 1 goal. You can't make those types of mistakes. And I just have flashbacks about, you know, what is it, 2 years ago. And
Yes. You
got the lead Yes. And you're in your own zone.
Against
and it's like,
Dallas.
I don't want puck. You don't want puck. And then we'll give puck away. And they score puck. And it's just like, what? We go to overtime, lose. I'm just like, disaster.
All right, so there's
can't have these mistakes in the stinking playoffs. Got to be more clean than that. Can't be making line changes when the puck doesn't go all the way down there, okay? You know,
and they made
you pay the price for it.
It wasn't a full clear, and that was sloppy. And see, this is how thin these margins are. They're so razor thin that a mistake like that, Avs could have lost their home ice last night like that. And it feels like, again, going back to game 2 against Nashville, when I turned to our buddy Rapp and said, there's one mistake away from giving this thing back.
Andy.
And this is Bednar, after the game, talking about what you're talking about.
It's discipline. I know you're tired. You've been not in this situation. We're killing a penalty. Penalty kill's doing a great job. You're tired. You're trying to make sure you're doing the right thing, getting fresh bodies on. But that puck's their possession right at their blue, and they got guys pouring onto it. We have to have a couple guys on the weak side. Our weak side D or weak side forward hold, and we probably get one or two off to fill the strong side of the ice. They go quick up to the weak side. It's a discipline thing. It's not. You're trying to change all the time to put your teammate and the next line out in a good situation, not a bad one. And normally if you're doing the opposite, it'll cost you. It might not cost you every time, but it's going to cost you.
And it cost them. A lot of weak side, strong side talk that I really don't know. I just know what I saw. And he's right. I mean, it's a discipline thing. It's you're tired, but at the same time, you have to make sure that the puck is cleared and it doesn't go, you know, just halfway down there. And in those situations,
they know
just,
better than
right,
that.
You just can't make that type of mistake. You just can't do it that late in the game. And thank goodness it didn't cost them though. Right.
Thank goodness.
It's a great learning lesson.
It is.
And it's, you know, you can like, okay, whew. You know, we can learn from that, and hopefully we don't make that mistake again. And then when you get a win on top of it, right, that makes you just say, okay, what? All right, we'll learn from it and move on. But it could have really, really cost them in a big way.
That was actually surprising, you know, to be – that was a sloppy moment. That surprised me. And I just – not to say, oh, well, if they had been in a rhythm of playing in the last week, I just asked the question, like, were you just a little bit disjointed from a rhythm standpoint where you would do something sloppy like that in a moment like that, where it wasn't a full send? It wasn't fully cleared. That was, again, just a sloppy moment. Thank goodness, like you said, you can always learn from these. When you're watching film after a win and you're learning that lesson,
yeah,
the tone is just a little bit different. So, again, hope they learn from it. This is Jared Bednar talking about the resilience in overtime.
Yeah, I mean, I liked our game the whole night. I thought we were resilient there. Obviously, we made a mistake on the penalty kill. We changed 4 guys, gave them one that was too easy. And it is what it is. You know, we've talked to our team all year long about being resilient and being mentally tough, and we came out and got right back to our game. Didn't capitalize on the power play, but just kept doing what we were doing throughout the course of the 60 minutes. And, you know, eventually we felt like we'd have a chance and then break them down and get the winner. And our guys believed it. They worked hard for it. I felt like they earned it tonight. I thought we had a lot of really good effort from all of our guys, some guys with some big performances on both sides of the puck, and we get the job done tonight. Now on to the next.
Now, that was their first time being down in the playoffs. Is that correct?
So I know why you would say that. It's not correct, but I know why you would say that.
When were they down?
In game four of the first round against Nashville, when Nashville scored in the third period and it took the Avs to come back and tie it and then win it. I think the number was 4 minutes and like 17. It was under 5 minutes of trailing. And think about the juxtaposition of this. You have five of the first eight round series in the NHL playoffs go seven games. The Avs didn't trail for 7 minutes in their first round series.
I like that they were behind and they had to play catch up a little bit in this game. Like Coach Bednar was saying there, you got to face some adversity. You have to overcome some things, and they faced it in a big way. Big way in that game. When you look at the, you know, falling behind early, right, not panicking and having a great second period and probably should have scored five or six, but then also giving up that late goal.
Yeah.
Just because of, you know, just not being smart. And then now you have to go to overtime. The last thing you want to do is go to overtime when you have the thing won and you're able to overcome all that and still get the win. I think there's a lot of positives that you can take away from that type of game. And even there late, you know, even on the line change, when they were changing the line and, you know, they whipped it over there to the right and they had two guys right there and those guys were throwing their body there. And I forgot whoever scored it for St. Louis, but he did a nice job of being patient.
Jordan Kyrou.
And then, you know, shooting a puck there. So it wasn't like it was nobody there. I mean, they ended up hustling and getting back in there and it was just two guys at the same time that just couldn't stop it, unfortunately. But facing that adversity, I think, is going to do them well throughout the rest of the playoffs.
And it's not the first time they faced adversity like this. Game two, that we got to remember, even though it was a sweep, how stressful game two against Nashville was in a 2-1 overtime victory. And Bednar referenced that in the postgame.
Well, it helped. All the experiences that you go through during the year, the guys remember games and they remember when you're down and come back. They remember when you're up and you lose the lead. You know, that's what the regular season's for. It teaches you how to win. But you have to be, you know, in tune and focus. And, you know, the belief is really what drives it. Our guys have a really good understanding, number one, and they have a belief in what we do. And if you have that and you keep working at it and you don't get rattled by ebbs and flows of a game or bad bounces, then you're going to continue to do what makes you successful. And that's what I thought we did tonight.
And they say, you talk about a real belief. It's hard to have a real belief when you've actually never been through the fire and come out the other end. It's like to draw from that experience. And this is what I love about this Avs team. They got great experiences they can draw from in both positive and negative ways. That, like, no, you remember that, you know, that game two overtime when we got through that. And you remember that mistake against Dallas? Well, no, we know we can never let that happen again. And, you know, stuff like that, you know, brings you to the point of where we are now.
Yeah, and I think when you look at what has happened over the last 3 years, you know, you can have regular season moments. You can have certain things where you went through adversity and, oh, yeah, we lost 6 out of 7 or whatever it was down the stretch. And, you know, you can do that. But until you get into when it matters the most and you do it then.
Right.
All that other stuff doesn't matter.
Right.
I don't care what you did in the regular season.
Spot on.
It doesn't matter. Right. When it matters the most, do you, you know, rise up or do you not? And they haven't risen up. Right. They have faltered in those situations. So now you have to show in the playoffs that you can make those plays, that you can overcome adversity. And they've already shown us that, like you referenced game two. We saw it last night in a big way. And you're right. Nashville, you know, like you said, we were trailing here for 4 or 5 minutes was it. And it was a sweep and it looked like it was a blowout, but there was a couple really tight games, close games that the Avs had to make some big time plays to win. I love it. Love that this year, this group has been through the fire. They did it in round one, but also we saw it last night. And, you know, you can do it all you want in the regular season, but, you know, it doesn't matter until you do it actually when it matters, and that's the postseason.
I had so much fun being there last night. I got to give a shout-out to my guy Justin. Caught me in line getting a drink in between periods. Big listener of the show. So shout-out Justin and my man Travis Doolittle and his three beautiful daughters there last night. Again, a big fan of our show. So promise the shout-outs. And I don't know how I'm going to do it, but I am going to try like hell to be back in the building tomorrow night.
Game two tomorrow night, rocking and rolling. You're going to try to get back there.
I'm going to try. I don't know how I'm going to make it happen, but I'm going to try. So I had a fantastic time last night, and I would love to try to be 4-0 in this playoffs, being there in person. So
we need to start like a GoFundMe page. You know, is that what you're looking for here?
You know what? I've begged my way to the box before.
Yeah, I know. You're not too proud to beg.
Ain't too proud to beg.
That's right. You and Beyonce, right?
Stop.
Who was that?
Stop. That's a way oldie.
Oh, my bad. But yeah, I mean, GoFundMe page, maybe?
Maybe so.
I mean, look, as fans would be, I mean, you're 3-0.
They need me still.
Right?
That's the Temptations, by the way. Ain't too proud to beg.
Oh, my bad.
All right, we'll circle back to the Avs and play some more audio and continue to, you know, react to the Game 1 overtime thriller last night that gets the Avs off to a good start in the second round that has been so problematic in years past. But in the meantime, Stoke, Russell Wilson, how about this? Russell Wilson has a chance to do something this season that only four other quarterbacks in NFL history have ever done. Hang tight. I'll tell you what it is coming up next.
You're listening to Stokely and Zach on Denver's Sports Station. 104.3 The Fan.
I know you want to leave me, but I refuse to let you go. If I have to beg, plead for your sympathy, I don't mind, cause you mean that much to me. Ain't you proud to beg, see darling, please don't leave me, girl.
I grew up listening to this.
Yeah, I know. We can tell.
Baby,
you're doing pretty good over there.
Don't leave me, girl. Is half the man.
Oh my gosh.
Sense of pride. But
this was in my boombox, man.
I don't mind weeping if you look cheap.
So my mom wouldn't let us listen to current music.
Like, and you didn't have a TV.
I didn't have a TV.
Right.
So, like, it was the oldie station in the Albany area, 98.3 WTRY. Remember the DJ, every time she'd get off the air, she'd say, it was so apropos for like an oldie station.
Apropos.
He'd say, don't cry because it's over. Smile because it happened. It's like that is the perfect tagline to end for a radio shift on an oldie station.
Love it.
Jamie there. All right. Russell Wilson has a chance to do something this season that only four other quarterbacks in NFL history have done. Did you see this earlier today on Pro Football Talk?
No.
Okay.
No.
Because I know that's a website you frequent.
Yeah. No, I haven't looked at Pro Football Talk today, so I'm kind of interested to see. I would say, you know, whether it's the most wins through or like 9 out of 10 winning seasons or something like that. It would be my guess. Something along those lines.
So with a win over Seattle in week 1, and a win over the Chargers either week 6 or week 18.
Oh.
Russell Wilson, go ahead. You got it?
He could beat every team in the NFL.
He could become the 5th quarterback member of the I've Beat All 32 Teams Club. Pretty cool.
Yeah, really cool.
Now, here's the trivia.
Who has done it?
Who is the other 4 quarterbacks to do it?
Peyton.
Correct.
Tommy.
Correct.
Now it gets a little bit tricky.
Correct.
How about Drew Brees?
Correct.
You got to think of quarterbacks that have moved a little bit. You know, you can't stay with your own team the whole time.
And there's another example of that. Like, who do you think is the quarterback right now who's beaten all 31 teams, just not his own?
Right. Who's been with the same team for a long time? Aaron Rodgers?
Bingo.
All right.
This quarterback, I'll give you a small hint.
Well, let me just take a wild guess here.
Okay.
With no hints. You said there's four?
There's four.
So I got one left.
You got three of them, and you got one left.
Let me just take a wild guess, and then you can give me a hint after.
Okay.
Play a long time. You've got to play for multiple teams, obviously. That is the criteria. And just the one name that comes to mind, and just real quick, when I think of that, is Joe Montana.
Oh.
Just because he did play for the Chiefs.
He did.
Which is an AFC team after playing for the Niners.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know if he ever went back and played the Niners. Probably not. It's probably not the right one.
That is a really good guess because he had success in, I think that was 94 with the Chiefs. They went to the playoffs, but that is not the correct answer.
He was just there the 1 year?
He was just there, okay. I think. Yeah, maybe two, but it wasn't long enough, and right. I don't know if they played San Francisco. This quarterback, let me just give you a hint.
Okay.
This quarterback played for four different teams. But one team a really long time. And he won a Super Bowl.
Four different teams. Man, almost want to say Flacco.
That's, you know what? Not bad.
Almost
but no.
want to say Jill. I don't know. It's not.
Brett Favre.
Favre. Yeah, should have known that one. Just didn't go there.
Does Russell Wilson get that done this year?
Well, they're beating Seattle. They better beat Seattle. Because if you don't beat Seattle, I was going to say, then you're not going to be able to accomplish this. But because I mean, who knows the next time you'll be able to play them?
Right, right.
So a lot riding on that game. Look.
And you know, by the way, you know. Russell Wilson knows about this.
1,000,000%.
As hyper aware right. as he is of his standing, exactly where he stands.
1,000,000%.
Russell was in the building last night, by the way.
Why every time we see Russell, like there's like so many empty seats around him? And last night, like we saw Russell, I'm like, where's Sierra? Like, you didn't see her last night, whatever. But then you saw, like, he's got no one else with him. You know, it's like, do you not notice that?
He probably bought out the box.
That's lonely, though. Like, if you're not going to have your bros with you, if you're not going to be like, you know, I don't, just not my style, I guess.
Yeah, well, yeah. Well, you want to hang out with people when you watch the game. I don't know. You know what? You got to think about it like this, and I'll just throw this out there. Maybe he's new in town and doesn't have, like,
got teammates.
Great friends
got
yet.
Teammates.
Sure.
Your receivers. Whatever.
I saw Dalton Risner there.
You did?
I did.
Shout out Dalton Risner. He came out a year ago, whatever. He's great.
He's great here, yeah.
Yeah, so I don't, to me, that when I saw him, I thought that was awesome, though. You know, he's got to go, whatever it was, and, you know, the place is going crazy, I'm
Dude,
sure.
The place popped. Outside of an Avalanche goal, there was no other time in the night that it popped the way that Russell Wilson being on camera waving that go Avs go flag.
Yeah, that was really cool. But my first thought was like, got no one around him. Is it like, you know, presidential security? That's where my mind goes. It's like, dude, you can't be within 20 feet of Russell Wilson. Like, you cannot sit next to him. We got to clear the whole area around him. That's where my mind goes. I'm just like, I don't know. It's just a little bit odd for me. That's it. No biggie, but just odd to me. Okay. But that's really cool. So he's got the Seattle Seahawks. Got to take care of that one. And then you said the Chargers?
Yes.
The next on the list?
So basically, like, this just comes down to beating Seattle. Because you're going to beat the Chargers at some point here in the next 4 or 5 years.
Well, he's only here for one more year. We haven't got everything wrapped up yet. I mean, let's...
Knock it off. Knock it off.
What? What?
I don't have the patience to jack with you today.
I'm just stating the facts. Don't get mad at me.
Shut up, man.
I've already told you.
Stoke.
What's his Stoke. Agent? Y'all think it's going to be like high fives, like let's get this deal done. It's going to be easy peasy.
I'm not going to disagree with that part.
Right.
I'm not going to disagree with that part. And if you missed that conversation from maybe probably 2 weeks ago at this point, maybe three.
A little bit longer than that.
that Russell Wilson's agent is the only of its kind in the NFL. He's a baseball agent. He's got one NFL client. It's Russell Wilson. And the history of the negotiations in Seattle have been very, very, very contentious.
Right. Exactly. So if you think he's going to take a dollar below what he can get, you are really naive. And you're fooling yourself because he's never operated that way. Why would he operate that way this time? They use their leverage. And so expect to see that happening again.
And the Broncos have lost their leverage.
Yeah, that's why when I said it was the worst decision they made to trade for him and not get an extension done beforehand. They lost all their leverage.
Couple things changed between then and where we are now, even just within a couple months, and most notably Deshaun Watson's fully guaranteed $230 million contract.
Yep.
That'll be the starting point.
Yep.
So we'll see.
But you're sure he's going to be here for the next 5 years?
I am sure he's going to be here for the next 5 years.
How sure?
100% sure.
100?
Yep. Yep.
He, back tattoo. If he's not here for the next five, you said 5 years. You're 100%, so you're like straight on the, like Stokely on the back.
I already got ink up there.
Lower back.
The lower back's lower off back. Limits.
That's more your style.
Oh, listen to you. Listen to you.
You're so sure. You're 100% sure. So it's not, I mean, he's definitely going to be here for the next 5 years, right? So if he's not, what year are we in? Like, what year? Like 2027-ish? Full on, I don't know, maybe a couple teardrops. You tell me.
Oh, doctor.
You tell me.
All right. We're going to circle back to the Colorado Avalanche conversation at the top of the hour. Some really good audio.
Sunshine on the lower back. That'd be good.
That we can react to. You know, Montrell Washington, and we talked about him, the return man out of Samford, the FCS kid, 1AA kid. He was one of the guys that stuck out at Broncos minicamp, but he wasn't the only guy to stand out at Broncos rookie minicamp. There's another name that we'll take a dive into coming up next.
It's Stokely and Zach on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
The Broncos are at the facility, and we're actually expecting to hear from select Broncos in less than an hour from now, but they canceled it and moved it to tomorrow. So maybe at some point tomorrow we'll eavesdrop on some of the Broncos players speaking live from Dove Valley. We always have some fun with that.
RamosLaw.com text line chiming in here, 303-713-1043. Because you guaranteed 100% that Russell was going to be here for 5 years. And I said, well, we'll put a tat on it, right? And we're getting a good one here from 720-879, you get Let's Ride on your lower back.
Oh,
if he's not
goodness.
Perfect. Lower
ride.
Back, Let's Ride. Yes, I like that,
that
one. Thank you.
Funny.
Thank you. Yes, that's what you have to do.
Let me amend what I said.
Wait, but I gave you an opportunity. I gave you multiple opportunities. 100%. Yes, 100%. 100%. That's what you kept saying, and now you want to amend it. Dante, file this away. The last segment, not this one. He doesn't get to amend it. You don't. I had an opportunity and you didn't want to.
Well, is it 100% certain that Russell Wilson will be here for the next 5 years? 100%?
That's what I asked you and you told me yes. That's why I said you, I mean, tied it up.
I reserve the right to change my mind.
What? No.
And in this situation,
no.
I'm changing it a smidgen. It is 99% likely because there's a couple different factors that lead me to believe this. Like Russell Wilson just did something I believe that he really, really, really did not want to do or he maybe naturally wanted to do, but didn't want to go through the process of actually doing it. Does that make sense? Like he wanted out of Seattle, but the process of getting that done is you're going to ruffle feathers. People aren't going to like you. You hurt your brand out there. You could get labeled as a guy who, you know, forced his way. If you did that, if you wanted to do that again, I just don't think, and the situation should be good enough here where he's winning here and happy here.
Tough division, Zach.
Really tough.
You don't know what's going to happen. But, you know, you made all those points about him leaving Seattle, but he still did it. Right? I mean, he still went through with it. He still did it, and he did it in a way where he kind of came out, for the most part, I think from a national perspective, you kind of look at it, if you don't know the situation, you look at it as like, oh, it's a mutual thing over there with Pete, you know. And
you're actually spot on. From a national perspective, and we actually got a glimpse of this past week because Joe Buck and Troy Aikman were talking. They were made available by
where are they at these days? They on Amazon? They on ESPN?
I think, it's ESPN.
They doing Monday Night Football? Is that who's doing it? I don't know who's doing what anymore.
Yes, because Amazon is Al Michaels and Kirk Herbstreit.
Oh, okay.
It's the most movement we've ever had in this department. But they said, like, Troy Aikman said, you know, he's like, however it went down with him leaving Seattle, not sure what happened, and I really don't care. And then he just continued with his answer. That's kind of like the national perspective. Right. Like, they got to the end of the road. They both had a lot of success, mutual parting of ways. But you go to Seattle and ask about the opinion, and it's a lot different.
Yeah. And you listen here, and we tell you, like, you know, yeah, they would have held on to him. He forced his way out. I mean, it's pretty obvious.
He forced his way out. Yeah.
Right. Pretty obvious, but whatever.
And thankfully for us, I mean, he lands in Broncos country's lap when we're looking for a quarterback. And really, it becomes more obvious that, like, he hand-selected Denver. He hand-selected Denver. And I think that because of that reason as well, I think that at least... Now, you can talk, like, could it run its course in 6-7 years and him finish his career? Like, we just brought up Brett Favre. Like, could it be, you know, he's playing for a third team? And we've seen that happen with great quarterbacks. So,
well... Here's my thought here, and I'm not saying it's going to happen, but I'm saying let's not be so closed-minded here where we think it can't happen here at all, like you were saying. I'm like, whoa, 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 are we that sure? Right? I'm not predicting it. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but and I don't want to bring negativity to here, but I want to be, you know, let's keep everything on the table, what could happen. And say 4 years, Zach. What about 4 years? After that fourth year, things haven't been going well for whatever reason, and you got your big payday. History says he's done it once. Don't think that he won't do it again, right? Well, once you made that type of move once, and what we know his expectations are multiple Super Bowls. We know his expectations are to go down as one of the greatest to ever play that position. And if it's not going that well here after 4 years, do you think it can't happen to Denver?
It's not like you're not making sense. It's not
Can you answer that question? No. Do you think it can't happen to Denver?
No, it could absolutely happen because 2 years ago we were saying there's absolutely no way that Seattle and Russ, whatever. And
last year I was saying that.
3 years ago we were saying there's no way Brady and the Patriots could break up. And I remember trying to bend you on that for like 6 months. You're like, no, stop it. No.
Yes, exactly.
The late, great John Clayton saying, no, stop it. Russell Wilson is not getting dealt from Seattle. It's not going to happen. Stop asking me about it. So if two football guys in different regards can have that staunch of an opinion about a potential divorce and then it happened, there's more quarterback movement right now than any other point in NFL history. I think we're going to talk about this a little bit more tomorrow. That, like, dude, you know how many quarterbacks in the league right now are with their current team for 5 years?
Ooh.
Three.
Wow.
The whole league has changed quarterbacks, Stoke.
Wow.
It's insane. So,
well, I mean, look, I mean, you're saying Stokely bringing that drama, you know, LOL there from, where's 217 at? Shout out. But, no, that's what I'm not trying to do it, but to think that in today's NFL, like you said, was very transient at the quarterback position, that it can't happen here in Denver, you know, in 4 years with Russell Wilson, I think, man, you got to, you know, look at this thing a little bit differently because it could happen. And, you know, with Brady, we never saw it with Brady. I mean, he was there forever. He never tried to force his way out.
No, right.
Right? With Russell Wilson, has he done that before? Yes. Right? So, like, he's done it. And if things don't go well, right now you're on the honeymoon. You don't think you're going to get divorced? Huh? When you're on your honeymoon, do you ever think you're going to get divorced? No, not usually. Not usually. I know you know a couple people you hung out with in the streets of Saskatchewan. But, I mean... But normally, with normal people, you don't think there's going to be a divorce, but sometimes it happens, right? We're in the honeymoon phase right now. Get that prenup, right? I mean, that's where we're at.
Can you just let us be in the honeymoon stage, Joe?
No, that's not the way I roll, right? I just want to bring it up. Like, hey, let's not be so naive to the situation like most people are in the honeymoon phase where, you know, the person tells them, the financial guy tells them, you need to get the prenup. You're like, no, we're good.
That's what happened with you, though. Look at you.
What do you mean? Whoa, business.
You were told to get a prenup, weren't you?
Maybe advised to.
You're advised to.
Am I like having flashbacks of, and am I reliving my moments here? And you don't get it, right? You don't get it. And then, you know, 20 years down the road, you're like, I'm glad I didn't get it. I didn't need it. But for other people, you know, it's like you always want to cover yourself. But I don't want to just be blinded because we are the honeymoon phase here that, you know what? Oh, this can't happen to us. Like, oh, no, we can't get divorced here in Denver. Not us. When he just did it to Seattle, he went to 2 Super Bowls and won one. Him and Pete Carroll were together for a long time.
One losing season.
Right. I mean, they had a lot of history together. We got no history with this guy. So I'm just throwing it out there. That's all. I'm not calling the shot, but I'm saying don't be Zach Bi and tell me 100% it won't happen.
99. I'm back to 99.
Okay. All right.
217 area code is Springfield, Illinois, looks
shout
like.
Shout out.
Like, well, central. It was a president born in Springfield.
Yeah, that was that would be Ulysses.
Mm.
S. Grant. Or Truman. Or Theodore.
We'll have to circle back. We'll have to circle back to
Teddy.
Who else stuck out. Eventually, you'll
Hoover.
Get to him.
Hoover.
Who's like one of the most famous presidents of all time? Who comes to mind?
Abe.
There you go.
Good old Abe.
There you go.
There we bam.
Big dude, man. Used to wrestle cats.
Really?
Yeah. Yep. All right, we'll have to circle back to who else stuck out at rookie minicamp after Stokely completely hijacked that segment.
Yeah, I was listening to you, James, yesterday. Y'all did a lot of that. They were off a little bit yesterday.
When you got chemistry like me and James do, sometimes you just flow in different directions.
Right.
But it's good to have you back, though.
It's chemistry like LeBron and Westbrook. That's what y'all had. That's the chemistry y'all had yesterday.
Mm. The Avs.
Thanks for that under on Tatum, too, by the way.
Oh,
that really
no.
was a good one. 21 in the first. I'm
hey.
Like, oh, thanks for that one.
Hey.
Glad I was listening when y'all said that one.
Hey, you're gonna pick winners, you're going to pick losers, as long as the logic's there. What did he finish with? I didn't even see.
Last I saw, he had 29. I was like, it's a wrap.
Okay.
So I don't know if he got to 30 or not.
Okay. All right. The Avs took a step forward, a big step forward, in getting the second round monkey off their back. How are we feeling after an imperfect game one? We'll take a dive into that conversation with some post-game audio coming up next.
Miss any of Stokely and Zach? Make sure to subscribe to our on-demand podcast. You'll get every episode as soon as they're released. Just subscribe wherever you get your podcasts or at 1043thefan.com.